Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Thursday, January 7, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. We have a good amount of information to get into, in particular, specifically, only about what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol building. I'll be going live with Whitney in a little more than an hour from now to go over some discussion around that, as well as some other topics that we've been talking about that kind of fit it. Like, we talked about the election chaos, which seems interestingly what just happened, as well as we're going to dive into the discussion of the SolarWinds hack and a lot of different things that Whitney's been researching. So make sure you look forward to that coming up in the near future. But today I wanted to make sure and went through just this topic. I had a fantastic interview with Dr. James Lyon Weiler yesterday. And that's what I was busy with yesterday. And I decided just to let that go out yesterday, make sure I understood what was happening with this whole picture before doing what literally everybody else did, was go, look, things happening, which is frustrating. And I know there's some use to that, but far too many independent media yesterday essentially just showed what was happening, right? And it's context is so incredibly important today. Right. And so to continue to hype up that there are things happening without knowing why or who's involved and so on is dangerous. But again, there is use for people to have just raw footage out there. There's a lot of good people that do that. I'm totally blanking on one person's name that was censored for such things. But someone who's really good about just being there filming apolitically, right? But other than that, we had a lot of politics jammed into this from every side. So I wanted to go through what we know today, what we can prove, what we know, and let that speak for itself, as usual. Now, there's a lot. There's quite a bit. So let's start off with, and by the way, there's a lot, but I don't believe this will be longer, probably an hour, maybe less. So let's go through this, and you guys can look at the information for yourselves. You know, and this is what's so interesting about where this information is, Twitter, for instance, or these kind of platforms. And I argue Twitter is just by virtue of being the only one, and make sure that's the way it is because government's involved with these platforms, that kind of feed of information is important. But it doesn't have to be Twitter. There's plenty of other outlets, Parler and Gab and so many others. I know people think those are right wing, but there's plenty of other platforms out there that do that. My point being is these kind of stream platforms are doing, this is why the news wants to control these, the mainstream media wants to control these type of flows, whether social media or elsewhere, which is what we'll get to in the show today, which is obviously where they're taking this. The internet's dangerous, all of it. So we need to control everything for your safety. Shocking. Who didn't see that coming? The point being, though, is Twitter, as well as a lot of others, do in fact have some of the most real-time information you'll get. Doesn't mean it's all accurate, though, right? Doesn't mean it's all accurate. Oops, I'm jumping ahead there. Doesn't mean it's all accurate. Nonetheless, it's incredible to see the kind of information we see flying out. But let's start off with the general idea about why people are questioning what happened here. And remember, as I'm constantly pointing out, you should not be afraid to ask these questions. Just because the media tries to paint them in a way that makes them look, you know, the conspiracy theory side, do not forget how many times this has been stated by the media and it ends up being correct. On our, that they claim is fake and fake news conspiracy theory turns out to be absolutely right. And in fact, you find out later that a lot of them saying that actually knew that it was correct. That's not every time. And you shouldn't blindly assume because someone online said so, right? It's balance, facts, evidence. But the point is that whether we questioning whether something is a false flag, a psychological operation, a complete hoax is not something we should shy away from. The history is unbelievably clear that this government in particular is that's what they do. Yes, largely, I would say historically overseas, but we are very clearly seeing it happen here. Don't forget things like the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and so on, where they gave themselves the legal power in their minds, even though it's unconstitutional in many ways, to lie to you for national security. And let's not act like they don't see this whole thing as a national security risk, which is also where it's going. Not just censorship, but that we're all now domestic terrorists because we talk about things online that they don't like. And of course, that in any sense, of course, they get to choose which ones are bad and good, will lead to something like this. Didn't you know? Insurrection is being thrown around. Now, don't forget, as Biden becomes president, that now he has been set up perfectly by Donald Trump to use the Insurrection Act. Let's not for 1 second act like that's just coincidence. But let's get into this. Questions about the chaos at the Capitol that desperately need be answered. Now, this is Michael Snyder, themostimportantnews.com. Like most Americans, he was absolutely horrified by the violence that he watched at the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday. And we noted slightly on it in my interview with James, same concept, that this is not the way that this is supposed to go down, in a sense of the way that is conducive to actual change. Now, I'm not saying that there are not times, especially when you're confronted with a situation, a violent authoritarian government that will not hear or acknowledge your rights, there are times when things need to be pushed. But this and the way it was done was the fastest possible track to not changing anything. And that's what a lot of Trump supporters are pointing out, that this does not seem to be representative of what even Trump rallies and supporters have ever done in the past. Yeah, I'm not saying there haven't been things that have been done that were wrong or things that I disagree with, but not in this way. This seems more similar to what we saw in other protests from other sides. Now, that doesn't mean that this may not be the logical conclusion of a Trump-supporting side to be like, okay, fine, you know, we're going to do the same thing if that's how it's going to end. You know, these are logical perceptions to have. But that's why today we're going to go through the facts. Now, it says, it turns out that the police actually opened up the barricades. And I have all the videos we're going to go over today that were surrounding the U.S. Capitol and purposely allowed protesters to storm the building. And I'll go show these videos and you can decide for yourself. And I agree. Every step of the way, it appears as if this was either the worst security ever and some of the most secure buildings we're supposed to understand, or to some level, this was a choice, having not enough security, or security that was willing to stand down in positions where historically people would have been shot on the spot. Which, in case, in one circumstance here, it did happen, which seems to, again, suggest that that's why did that happen in the middle of this process instead of when they were first entering the building, and so on. He says he's never seen anything like this in his life. And once they were inside the building, they were herded toward particular areas, again, which I'll show you in a moment. For example, you can watch one guard actually lead protesters up several flights of stairs. Now, you could argue about this because it seems that he was, you know, putting on a show, if you believe he was lying, because he would seem like he was, you know, pushing back, and we'll look at it and I'll give you my perspective on why it doesn't really seem legitimate. Just a perspective, my perception. Enter, it says, either the U.S. Congress has the worst security personnel that any of us have ever seen, which is very exactly, or this was allowed to happen on purpose. Now, obviously, there's more options you could think up. This is the person writing this, but I have to agree with the idea that it's a joke, that this was the level of security in a situation where literally everybody was screaming that something was going to happen. Everybody anywhere outside this country, people were going, geez, that's going to get crazy. Everybody knew this was going to, because they were telling us that. And we're supposed to believe that they just didn't have people ready? Now, it says there are multiple reports, again, which will show you, that Antifa activists were brought into this by bus. In fact, one patriot, they say, actually recorded video of the Antifa buses, again, which I will show you. So who arranged those Antifa buses, they ask. Now, you'll see that I can't verify, or I don't think they can either, that they are, in fact, Antifa buses. But here's what gets interesting. In fact, one has already been positively identified. Now, I disagree with claiming it's been positively identified. It does appear to be this gentleman, but it's, of course, your decision. And, you know, I've seen far too many examples of people going, look, that's the same guy. And it's painfully clear that it's not the same guy. But here you can see, and again, we'll show you these people and where they play in. This guy right here, they're claiming is this guy right here. And if you dig in, you can clearly see that this is in regard to Antifa and so on. And a guy in the big horns, people are also claiming this, and I'll let you decide for yourself, show you a few of the pictures. But here's why this guy, whether or not that's him, this guy in this picture who was in the Capitol building, here's what is ridiculous. If he wanted to pass for a Trump supporter, he probably should have covered up his hammer and sickle that are tattooed on the back of his hand, which is there. So the argument is it doesn't really make sense that that would be a Trump supporter. Now, there is an ongoing discussion about whether or not these Antifa support, you know, Antifa members infiltrated this in order to make chaos happen. Now, that's, of course, anybody who doesn't want to believe that this was a manipulation by one side or the other is going to say, that's crazy and stupid. And no, it's not. I'm not saying it's actually happened or that we can prove it, but it's not stupid. It's absolutely logical to assume that because Antifa's been openly saying things just like that, openly discussing how they wanted to infiltrate groups and so on and so on. Now, it doesn't mean that the Trump side couldn't do something similar and so on, but what we're talking about is a very, very logical reality that this either could have been just an organic thing by Antifa, which I think is ridiculous to say anything about Antifa's organic, but that they pushed in to do this to create the kind of chaos they wanted to bring down the people they don't like, as well as the fact that there could have been somebody who I very much believe is politically driving what Antifa does to make sure this happens so that they can make sure Trump looks like this, so they can push this out and end up moving into an era of Biden and complete control over the internet and your thoughts and so on. Right. We all see where this is going. And this doesn't even deviate much from what COVID-19 is doing, surprisingly enough. Shocking, right? Perhaps the most famous protester in the chaos was the guy with the Viking horns, it says. Well, it turns out he was photographed at a BLM rally in Arizona. Now, again, we'll show you, go through all these pictures. The point is that it does not, you know, you could argue it might be someone else. It does appear to be the same guy, in my opinion. And he was also photographed at a climate activism event in 2019, which I don't think I actually grabbed that photo. Let's look at what it's showing us. Right. So, I mean, it appears to be, I mean, that is the same guy. Tattoos and everything. Same guy. At a climate activism event. Now, you could argue that that doesn't make sense for a Trump supporter, but come on. We can't, putting these things in such, polarized, there are probably plenty of Trump supporters who believe in one thing or another that does not align with what most Republicans think. Just put, that's a very basic and obvious observation. That doesn't mean that isn't something we should remember. Now, his name is Jake Angeli, and we'll see some interesting points about who this guy actually is. Turns out he is an actor. What do you know? Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's acting here, but certainly something to consider. None of which will even be, regarded by the media because they don't want to deign, that's how they act. These obvious questions are just too stupid to consider, except when they obviously dive in, when they want to make a very real thing look like fake news and they debunk them. But up until those debunks, we don't even want to waste our time with talking about these things, right? It's like they play it both ways all the time. But it says, just as a debate about the evidence, and this is what I think is most important. This is the first observation that I made. Just as a debate about the evidence of the election irregularities was about to begin, the riots conveniently broke out. Right? So when the whole purpose of this, now I also argue that Trump supporters, why would they do this before something had been decided? Their whole point was that Trump might be able to win with the whole process and so on, which I didn't think was very realistic. But if it was still happening and people were indeed challenging these things, because we saw that happen from legislators, then they decide to push in. That makes no sense whatsoever. Unless, of course, the point was to make sure that that didn't get looked at, that people standing up and pointing out the things, their justifications for why it was illegitimate, doesn't get to be acknowledged and discussed and put on full display. No, they rush in and cause chaos and everyone locks down and suddenly it becomes a behind closed doors in the middle of the night process that nobody really gets to scrutinize. What do you know? Now, of course, it's funny, even just going over this stuff and giving my observations, plenty of people will go, this guy's a right-wing Trump supporter. It's just stupid. Like, I feel really bad for people like that, despite the fact that I'm overtly, constantly pointing out that that's not the case and giving you 100 reasons why we shouldn't believe in any of these people. But of course, if I make the other argument and I go another way, which we will in some points, the other side will say, oh, what a Democrat. That's what happens when you're lost in an illusion, completely lost in the two-party illusion. We see it every single year, right? Election, rather. Trump into Clinton. You can't point out that Clinton did something bad without being called a Trump supporter. You can't point out that Trump did something bad without being calling a Clinton supporter. It's just ignorant. It's childish. And what should scare you the most is that's everybody running this country. Willfully ignoring facts, childishly, attacking people for saying something that's readily apparent because they don't like whatever. You get the point. And it's so ridiculous. But these are all the blue checks and or most of them and all the people in politics are living in that two-party illusion. Members of Congress were quickly evacuated and the millions of Americans that were watching never got to see an honest debate about the 2020 election. Exactly. So just like every other part of all of this, it just completely got swept away behind closed doors and we never got to actually see it. That's not how this is supposed to work. So who benefited from the riots? And this is the important part about all this. Your government did. Not the left, not the right. Your government did. The government benefited in every possible way by doing what just happened. Because now it becomes all of the challenges about anything illegitimate about our government are because conspiracy theory, because Q, because MAGA. And so any genuine criticism becomes fake news, despite, you know, whether you support Trump or Q or any of it, which obviously I don't. But that's the point. And anybody who still wants to fight for one side after that is going to continue to point to the other side, which won't change anything. And so on from the other side, and it won't change anything. And that's the point. But you know what they will do is continue to censor the internet and censor your engagement on social media and control certain ideas and not allow people to talk on platforms like we're already seeing. But Trump, bad guy, right? Biden, bad guy, right? Doesn't matter. It goes on and on and on until we can wake up. He said, it's important to note that these riots have dealt a severe blow to any political future that Trump hoped to have. So again, from a partisan point, though, that does make sense. We have to understand that regardless of the two-party illusion, which is obviously the case, there are still people within that that are vying for personal gain. People within that that absolutely hate Donald Trump and see his removal as something that could benefit their career. Doesn't matter. That's all aside from the reality that these people all have ultimate same agendas and goals and mandates from people above them. But this is clearly the point. It says, so with one stone, activists have neutered the debate over the legitimacy of the election, and they have devastated Trump's movement as well. Now, you have to, again, my point with the Trump movement here is what I keep saying, is that a lot of these people, I believe, have their hearts in the right places because they believe in the Constitution. They believe in the things that I believe are foundational to this country. They've just been deceived about who is doing what to try to fight for them. So if you can effectively neuter that movement and make those people out to be the crazy ones, you know, the people that believe in the Constitution, well, suddenly you have a government benefiting scenario. It appears that someone really was playing 3D chess, he says, just wasn't Trump and his supporters. Exactly. It's a good point. But going forward, these links will be here for you to look at in general, but let's go forward and get into the details. Now, Trump was suspended on Twitter, which is really crazy. He is still the president. And he was censored on Twitter for what clearly telling people to not be violent and stand down just because he continues to argue that the election was manipulated, which, damn it, it really was. This is what's so frustrating is you can't say that with being deemed a Trump supporter. You've got people out there like this is sort of calling out, but I'm not trying to make it all about him. But Jordan Sheraton, for instance, made this huge tweet I just saw today about how anybody claiming any election fraud is a crazy, dangerous conspiracy theorist and should be completely removed. And that was horrifying. Now, I don't align with a lot of what happens on his channel, but I interviewed him a long time ago in regard to what happened in Flint, Michigan. And at the time, he was talking about how he was being attacked by bigger mainstream media outlets and so on and so on. And now here it is flipping around and he's pointing to smaller outlets that have opinions that he disagrees with and saying they should be removed. A shame on you. Because you know better. And it's only because of a political motivation. That's my opinion, but it's happening everywhere. I do not support Donald Trump. I think he's part of the problem. But I do not think that he should be censored as a broad account, literally as the president, because he's claiming something he believes. And by the way, there's mountains of evidence for. Now, does that mean that Trump's side didn't cheat? I completely disagree with that. I think there was cheating all over the place. And it can be proven, and it has been proven. But because what they're trying to do is protect the mechanism, left or right, they're trying to protect their control mechanism that they use to cheat regularly within the system. They want that for next year. They want it for every other year. So they want to do is make all that seem fake, despite the fact that these same exact people the last election were screaming about the same thing. NPR, CNN, look at the election fraud. Look at this. Look at Pennsylvania. And now when it's the other way around, it's a complete fraud and it's a fake news conspiracy theory. I'm going to show you examples of the same thing happening in regard to the Capitol, where these people are saying, insurrection, that's crazy, this is dangerous, and meanwhile, they're promoting the exact same thing happening in countries they don't like. These people are bad people. They do not care about you. They do not care about the truth. But, of course, people on either one side or the other that are benefiting from the two-party illusion will pick their side and scream about the truth that is what they want you to think. Pretty sad. But here he is being censored, controlled. I mean, you can see it right here saying, I'm asking for everyone at the Capitol to remain peaceful, no violence. But just because he wants to point out that he feels he was cheated, that's him pushing them forward, which is how the media is framing it because they're a bunch of dishonest hacks. Here's Twitter saying, as a result of the unprecedented and ongoing violent situation in Washington, D.C., which regardless of what Trump tweeted, you cannot then say, and this is what they're trying to, this is the connection they're trying to make, that words online directly translate to violence. And that's just dumb. If you want to try to argue that somebody who says, go out and kill this person is responsible, well, I could get behind that. But saying that you believe the election is rigged and because people then take that information and want to go do something with it, you cannot then blame that person. Now, has Trump in the past made statements that have incited things? I do believe that. But not this time. I do not think that. And I think it's very clear that what we're seeing... Jesus. Do I not have any mods in the chat? Jeez, crime. Star, you're in there. Whoever this Nightbot is, please remove them for just spamming the chat. But this is them saying that Trump not, you know, unequivocally saying nothing happened and it's all legitimate means that he's pushing violence. And that's just a flagrant misrepresentation. But of course they say, well, we're going to lock his account for 12 hours until he removes the tweets, which we've all dealt with. Of course, look, I didn't get the big fancy tweet from Twitter saying this is what's happening. I got nothing. I got zero response, zero email, completely removed, nothing. No secondary account, immediately bombed, nothing. It's all gone. That's it. Just fun, just showing you the difference, right? Because they know they have to do something with this because Trump's got a lot of followers. But the point is they're basically slapping the president of the country on the wrist and saying, no, 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 Donald Trump, now you must delete them. That's your penalty. Now, unless you do that, you have to stand in the corner. Like you're like some mom daddy figure of Twitter. It's ridiculous. Whether he does it or not is the question. But he did, in fact, urge people to go home. Here's his full statements, you know, that they removed and then acted like, you like, think about how insulting, how manipulative it is to claim what he said was wrong, but remove it so nobody can digest it and look at it. Even this, people will go, well, like, how do we know that's what he actually said? That's just what Zero Hedge is saying. I mean, there's pictures of it, I'm sure, but the intention is to muddy the waters. Here's what he said. I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election and everyone knows it, especially on the other side. But you have to go home now. You have to have peace. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. We're very special. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You've seen the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace. Nowhere in there, in any way, is he saying, go out and do bad things. Go out and be violent. Continue to protest. He didn't even say that. He said, go home and go in peace. But the point, again, is because he says it's fraudulent, which there's evidence for, whatever you think about it. They're claiming that means he's inciting violence, and that is dangerous misrepresentation. They're using it, and this is going to apply to us just like everything else. Twitter quickly locked down the tweet, making it impossible to be retweeted or liked due to a risk of violence, which is the point. This is what we're seeing. Actually, I thought they had that. Oh, maybe it's further up. The point, though, is that Twitter is locking these things down under a claim of inciting violence due to a risk of violence. They're claiming that your words, your comments are inciting violence. So simply saying anywhere that the election is rigged or this is fake or this isn't working, delete it. Why? Because they're causing violence? That's pretty abstract, don't you think? Did they call for violence? Did they say keep going? Did they say yes, do that, it's good? I'm sure some people did, and I'm sure they deleted them. But just claiming things that are factually, you know, have facts to back them up, or even without that, is not the same thing. And that's a dangerous step forward, which they've been trying to accomplish for quite a long time. But as Luke points out, the cops are being very aggressive. What this guy gets pushed down, well, both of them do. But this is outside, right? So this is the only time I saw where the cops are being like overtly violent. On the inside, they just seem to let them run right through. But watch this. This is outside before they break through the gates. This next one's the worst. The guy just, I mean, it's flagrant. I mean, the guy just runs up and pushes this guy back. Look at that. I mean, there's no need for such violence. That guy, I mean, it does really seem intense. I mean, these are people. I mean, the argument would, these people are there. And I mean, that's not the argument. I mean, they are there standing up for their rights. They have a right to be there to protest, like that one right there. Look at that. I mean, that's just, there's no reason for that. He looks at him. He sees him walking still. Look at him. He's just walking. And he just walked. I mean, that guy was angry, and so he pushed him. These are children. If you're going to do that, you're a child, and you should be fired immediately. The point is, these people are out there protesting, and they have a right to. Because there are people that cause violence does not mean that everybody by default that's present is a violent person or is even able to be arrested. But that's what's happened. We're already there. And let's pretend that this never happened before, where government can put people in situations to cause violence so they can use that excuse to shut things down, because that's never happened before. By the way, that's literally every regime change we've ever seen around the world, such as, you know, Syria, where the U.S. government has been exposed for shooting protesters, blaming it on Assad, and that's what started everything. These are all things that have been verified by the facts. They just, you won't hear it in the mainstream media. But here, let's get into how this started. Now, this is the part that most people probably wanted to see, and this is the breakdown of the evolution of the flow into the building, and I have pretty much every stage here. Now, this is the exact moment, he says, and I just want to show you the person who shared it. The moment the siege of the Capitol building began, as the two men in front ripped down a preliminary barrier. Oh, actually, wait a minute. I think I had that. Yeah, that's actually wrong. This is the secondary one. So that's actually incorrect, by the way. I realized that after I was. So this is the first part, and this is what a lot of people are missing. This is where the police, before we get to this inner gate that they did, in fact, push down, and it looks like one of these guards was almost hurt. This is when they let them in, where they literally, without any reason to, seemingly, stood back and opened the gates themselves. Take a look.
Police are squabbling with protesters.
Oh. Okay, he said, now the guy's reporting the squabbling, which, I mean, obviously it seems to be happening the whole time, but do you see that? I see people standing there and cops making the conscious decision to move the gates. Look at that.
Protesters.
Oh. Opening the gates. And there's already a guy back here, which makes no sense to me. They just, hey, come on. Let's all go. The cops are walking away. Look at that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That seems like a staged scenario to me. In any case, the very least, we know that that was allowed to happen. Okay, then we come to the next part where he's saying that this was where these people ripped down the preliminary barrier and rushed these officers. And here's the video itself. Instead of a gun. I guess I forgot to grab it. It's right here. In any case, let's watch it on the tweet. Okay, so these guys come up. And you will see as the cops basically stand there. But this is the one example I have where the cops did not seem to let them through. Now, before we get to it, one of the arguments here, and by the way, these are the kind of things that get spread online and spread like wildfire, and nobody verifies these things. At least I haven't seen it. Who knows? Maybe somebody has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is true, but there's a lot of this that happens, and before anything's verified, it's already taken root and it's everywhere. The claim is that the claim that there are Antifa people that infiltrated this, I completely believe, based on the facts and the fact that that's what they've said in the past. But the claim is that the people that did infiltrate these groups said apparently that they would be dressed as MAGA, but that they would wear their MAGA hats backwards to show the others that that was them. Nothing I've seen has vindicated that, has verified that. But it's something to consider because of this clip in particular, which does seem that this guy is the one that essentially starts this move.
Oh my God.
see, that guy right there kind of got knocked back. I mean, it's pretty clear that that wasn't allowed to happen, right? I mean, at the very least, it wasn't. I mean, I would argue that they should have, if with everything that they claimed was going to happen, what, three people are really enough? Like, you could argue that in and of itself is allowing it to happen by not properly securing these things that, by the way, again, in these senses, whether we're dealing with Secret Service or Capitol Police, that these people are trained to be instantaneous, which will get to the point where someone gets shot. The question is, why wasn't this happening at this checkpoint? I'm not arguing it should have, by the way, to be very clear. Obviously not. But I'm saying, based on the way that they have historically responded to things that people are calling terrorist acts, people are calling insurrection, which I don't agree with. But with people storming a political building, in any sense in the past, people get shot on the spot. But not this time. So this is another point. And like, right in these situations, right? Like, so these cops don't seem, like that guy gets grabbed. But we've seen these situations in the past where people get immediately grabbed, arrested. But, you know, and you could argue that there's too many people, and so they just didn't want to engage. Certainly possible. But it just doesn't add up to me. Because, look, there's cops up here, right? I mean, there's cops up here, and no one seems to be, you know, at this point, there's only a couple of them. They're standing, yay, we made it. And they're just letting them stand there. I'm not saying that necessarily proves anything, but that doesn't seem right to me. Maybe it's because they were afraid they'd be attacked, and you know, some of the guys seemed to throw a punch. Interesting. And that's where they officially go, okay. Whether told to or not, they say, okay, we're backing away. Now, at this point, everybody, everywhere, in any sense that is on security, Capitol Police, everyone is aware that just happened, right? In any sense of anything we've ever, and that's the fact. They have communications, they have everything. So right there, they go, when they breach the gate, they're coming, and everyone knows. And what happens next, we're to believe, is all they could muster to stop this from happening? And the point, and a lot of people are pointing out, is why in the world wasn't there a whole lot more people here with what they kept telling us was going to happen? Okay, here's the next part. Now here is where they basically come in and they make their way through that statue room, and now they're confronted by a guy at the door. It's suspicious, first of all, that there's somebody filming this on the stairwell that films the whole thing. Which, you know, obviously primed for something, which, you know, maybe he was just knowing something. Who knows? That seems suspicious to me. But the way that this is handled, and the way that there's only one person, a single person between them and having access to all of this stuff, after everything that just happened, after being told that this was coming, and this is what happens. Okay, so right there, the argument by some people is that, is ultimately that, you know, you're one cop, and you got a room full of people that you, maybe you're hostile, so I would argue it's not illogical to think that this guy would back away, but nonetheless, the way that it's handled, and there's only one person there, where is everybody else, what is told, it just, none of this adds up at all with the situation that they're in. And you also find it odd that he's got his, like, baton on the ground behind him. Watch where he has to go pick it up. And even stuff like that. Like, he pushes him in the shoulder. Really? Like, first of all, I've never seen a cop do that before. If a cop is going to engage you, they don't just shove your shoulder. I know police officers. My uncle was a police officer. And that's ridiculous. But who knows? Maybe this guy's bad at his job. Who ultimately knows? The point is that he shoves him, and he does it a couple of times, and it seems so incredibly disingenuous. If this guy decided that he was being overrun, he would move back to wherever the next level of people were. That's what would happen. Not continue to kind of touch them and engage and talk and move back. It doesn't make sense. Statistically popped into my head, and that's not right. Strategically, it doesn't make sense. and not in any other sense. Just watch. So right here, watch the way that he engages with this front guy. It's almost like this guy knows nothing's going to happen. Right? Really? Really? Come on. Where's everybody else? Right? Exactly. Who's recording this? Why isn't he engaging? Right? If he's a cop, he wouldn't just be recording and standing back. None of this makes any sense. That guy wouldn't keep walking up to a cop with a baton in his hand if he thought, I mean, come on. None of that adds up. Now, I'm not saying this is verification that this is fake, but these are things that don't make sense. At the very least, more than anything else, the fact that there was nobody ready, nobody there, very few people in general, means that I would argue at some level this was wanted to have, they wanted to allow this to happen, and whether they had people at the front like this guy leading it and other people following them, which will always happen, is up for you to decide. But it doesn't add up. And of course, when at the top here, the argument where he says they're here, which, you know, could mean that they were radioed and that, you know, they know they're giving them the progress, or it means that there's something more planned going on. Oh, and the other point was that this guy, why are they following him? Right? So far, we've seen like 11 different hallways and doors and all kinds of stuff. But these crowds are like single file following this guy right to where they wanted them to go, I would argue. Why did that happen? Why are they all following single file? What about all the... There's so many other things they could have done. That doesn't make sense. They're here. They're here. Really? Okay, so finally, now where it appears they got them where they wanted them to be, now there's an engagement. Which, by the way, would have obviously been more intelligent and strategic to do at that bottom hallway where you have them in a choke point. But no, let them storm into this big open room and then handle it. Okay. So at this point, I am completely suspicious about everything that's happening. Okay, now, which I'm not sure what happens in between these points. This is where, and by the way, oh, I forgot to say this in the beginning. I wanted to have Brian B. Rich on to talk about this because he, at the beginning, was actually in the building. He was there as a journalist. He was filming them on the lawn when they pushed past the gate, and he was following them to film to see what happened. Now, he left right away once realized that this was getting as serious as it was because there was, you know, people going to get arrested and so on. But I wanted to have him on to talk about it and give you his firsthand experience. But of course, he's caught in traffic on the way home right now. But we'll be connecting in the near future. As well as, of course, surprise, surprise, he's having every possible issue getting me the video that he filmed with any platform he's trying to get it to me. Surprise, surprise. Who knows? But I got most of this online anyway, but again, the point is Brian and I will be connecting on this and possibly do a Rockfin version of this to talk about what's going on. But between this point and the next point is a you know, I would argue a blackout where there's probably film, probably something. Now, here is where it gets to the point where someone gets shot. Okay. Now, this is where the woman is trying to push past the window and she gets shot. And this is arguably where it kind of stops. And the point again is why in the world would it take all the way until this point for one person to get shot going through a window? I'm not arguing that people should. I'm not arguing that violence should have happened. I mean, whatever. I'm not advocating for people to get shot. Let's put it that way. But the point is that we know the way that they're standard operating procedure. They have all kinds of political officials and all kinds of stuff. I've never seen something like this in my life in regard to how they're operating in this country. But this is what happens. Bust it down! Now, so there's people back there in the hallway. They've broken the windows. Looks like it's barricaded. But there are security personnel on the other side of the door. So one of the argument people made is that would suggest that they're clearly not a threat. And think about it this way. These are Capitol Police, arguably, or some kind of security that are opening fire in a direction where their people are in the line of fire. Anybody want to make sense of that? That's ridiculous. And let's not pretend like they can't see them. I mean, watch where they are. You'll see them right to the right in the film. Somebody says just a flashbang, but as I understand it, this woman died. And you can see in the further film, I'm not going to show the graphic parts, but she's clearly bleeding. But, you know, as always, there's reason to question everything about what this, you know, whether this is valid or whether it actually happened and so on. People act like those questions are silly conspiracy theory, but every single time you should be willing to ask those questions. Is what we're seeing actually valid? Now, my opinion, I do think this happened, and I do think that this was allowed to take place. There, right there at the bottom, there's one of the op. Right there. See his gun right there. Okay, so he was there behind them. Okay, so how in the world, that's what I've been told, understood by people that are reporting. However, you could argue that he came up after the fact. That doesn't seem to be the way it went down. But none of that makes any sense. I mean, this guy is just standing open right now. Standing with his back to where the people were just shooting. I mean, it doesn't make much sense. I again reiterate the point that it doesn't make sense to shoot this woman in a window when you've already allowed them to just basically go where they want. It's almost as if you wanted them to think that they could just push past. Now, obviously, they're breaking windows and being destructive, so I'm not going to pretend like it wasn't logical to assume that violence would be something would happen to you by doing this because you're breaking the law. Now, I understand protesting for your rights in front of the Capitol is your right, but breaking windows and pushing in destruction is not your right. So the point is that this is how it boils down to the question of whether or not Trump supporters were in fact doing this. Historically speaking, we haven't seen this kind of thing happen. This seems more indicative of an Antifa riot or protest or however you want to look at it, because both are happening. There are people there that are protesting because they believe what's happening, whether they're deceived or not. And there are people there that are there to riot. Both are happening. We can't just whitewash everybody because bad guy Democrat, bad guy Republican. That's dumb and childish, and you need to get over it. Yeah, let me look at my phone real quick in the middle of this crazy, chaotic situation. Give me a minute. Really? Come on, man. I mean, that is just silly. He's saying, get down. Give me a minute. I'm on my phone. Now, there's also this guy who appears to be somebody official with a name tag, and he's in the building, and he's just with them. So how do you explain that? So it certainly seems to be suspicious, at the very least. Looks like it's freezing up on me here. Let's see if we got something. Let's see. Well, before that, as that goes, so far, it seems pretty clear that this was allowed in a way, one way or another, to get to where they got. I mean, if we really believe that the Capitol Police or any political building is going to allow that kind of a breach at a time when they're the ones telling us that this is going to happen. I mean, every single, from either side, mind you, right? I mean, you can see Trump supporters in other situations before they got here with shirts that say civil war, right? And then you got the Democrats on the other side saying they're going to do this and they're going to get crazy and they're terrorists and domestic, and yet nobody's prepared. There's one person blocking a hallway. There's two cops guarding railways. And yet the people behind them are just allowing things to push forward. Doesn't make sense. It really, really doesn't. Now, since we're waiting for this to for whatever's doing it to stop manipulating our stream, what are your thoughts in the chat so far? Right? What do you guys think is happening? Because I think it's important to get other people's perspectives on this, because I don't think anybody truly knows what exactly is happening. Oh, by the way, it looks like I can't use the chat either because it's frozen. Great. So let's do this actually in the meantime. Let's see. Actually, I'll play something because I don't want to freeze this up for you guys. Let's see. Apologies for the delay, ladies and gentlemen. Just, you know, just the classic manipulation of people telling you the truth. That's how it usually goes. Let's see. I have a bunch of coronavirus stuff in here because that's basically all we've been talking about lately. Let's play. Well, let's just play James Corbett's video until this comes back around. I apologize, guys. By the way, so you know, I'm already in the works of getting some new equipment because there it goes. It just stopped. I'm convinced that this thing has been compromised. I really am, just so you know, because it's literally only, you don't even understand, like, my RAM and everything else. I mean, it's completely solid. Like, I'm deleting things I shouldn't just to make sure, and I'm talking to people about it. Anyway, the point is that this happens only when I'm live on a show. Literally. No matter what I do. I find that to be pretty revealing. But let's continue. So, the next part is getting into the concept of whether Antifa was in fact present and whether people feel that they were involved. Now, this is former DC bureau chief for the Investors Business Daily saying, according to him, former FBI agent on the ground at the U.S. Capitol just told him that and confirmed that at least one busload of Antifa have infiltrated the Trump demonstrations and causing this to happen, essentially. Now, the only reason I'm showing this is because I've got other things to go on. Otherwise, I wouldn't even show that because that's just a bunch of words, right? I don't, at this point, guys, I'm getting frustrated with how willing people are to take statements at face value. I don't care if it's the president. I don't care if it's the most trustworthy person on the planet. If somebody just says this is the facts and doesn't give you anything, you should immediately go, well, maybe they are. I'll consider that, but maybe they're not. You know why? Because that's just text. It's just a bunch of words. Words, that means you're willing to take that as fact based solely on the person's reputation. Why does anybody do that? Now, here is the individual that they're talking about, this guy who is wearing, you know, obviously it's the same guy with the same tattoos, everything. Okay. Their point is that they have evidence of him being at a Black Lives Matter rally. I mean, you could see the F the police in the background and so on. And this is all stuff that you can look up for yourself. It's everywhere right now. So that doesn't mean that somebody can't be a Trump supporter and also support Black Lives Matter. I mean, this is the kind of thing that's being, but it does seem odd, does it not? And we'll go over these images in a moment. You can see the fact that he's an actor and so on. Here is the gentleman we're talking about. Okay, this is the same guy with the same tattoos. And yes, he's an actor. He says, hi, I'm a highly talented actor, voiceover artist and singer. Now, that doesn't mean because he's an actor that he can't also have political beliefs and protest for things. Right? But when you begin to see him at other things that conflict with what he seemed to support, you begin to ask questions, right? And you should. Here's an image that Whitney shared with me this morning, but this has been circulating quite a bit, of him shaking hands with Rudy Giuliani, which I would argue seems to suggest the opposite direction. Now, Brian B. Rich interviewed this guy on the ground, and it was, in his opinion, Brian seems to think that this guy was very clearly a Trump supporter. Right. So that should hold some weight for you because he spoke to him and, you know, but simply based on the way he spoke and the what he, you know, seemed to believe, he believed he was a supporter. But that doesn't mean he couldn't have faked that and made it all up and so on. But that seems to be an interesting picture that seems to make sense. But of course, this could go even further, you understand, and be that it was something that Trump's, you know, side or Giuliani himself pushed forward because this is all a bigger plan than the two-party illusion. That's also possible, which makes much more sense to me. But here is Jake, and you know, just showing you DuckDuckGo and showing his professional profile being on, you know, Backstage, which is a, you know, site about actors and so on. But then of course also showing you that weirdly over the last 24 hours, it's weirdly been removed. Oh, that's funny, isn't it? Good thing we have some screenshots so we can show you. But again, it seems to be very suspicious that that would suddenly be removed. But of course, those things do happen when they want you to believe things that might not be true. But I'm just saying these as counterpoints, as always. I believe that's very suspicious, and I believe it's very telling. Now, here is somebody who's pointing out that Antifa was bust in, right? Now, this is a video that I'm showing because, again, other points that I'm going to show you next. But I do not feel that this really confirms much. It shows him showing his phone on this video, showing you video of what just look are black trucks with police leading them, which could be a lot of things. But because I'm going to show you the points after this, I felt this would be relevant to show.
And one marked state trooper vehicle, two black SUVs, there's three state trooper vehicles escorted four Antifa shuttle buses right here front and center. There was actually five vehicles total. There was three up front, two in the back. They escorted right here, waited for them to get off their buses, and they had the state troopers unloaded and took their positions. Watch. There's that guy. He had his lights on. They were coming. And then there's the ones up front, too. They escorted, and each one of those buses are labeled. They're all paid charter buses.
Look at that, bro.
That's, and the rest of it's just a bunch of, they did that. Look, they did that. And it's like, well, I see black trucks and I see them leading them, but I don't, you know, that guy seems to believe that. Could be, certainly could be. But going forward to the next point. Oh, actually, this might be slightly out of order. This was just, I think what this really upsets me that this is, so this is a guy for Salon who is, and this is the kind of idea I'm getting at, right? So this guy, because he was present, is being called, basically being accused of all the things that happened in general. And of course, he's doxing this guy, which, yeah, there's a lot of publicly available stuff here, but, you know, there's got to be something said about this. Like, this is a mainstream writer who is calling out an individual and calling out where he works, who he is, and saying that this guy should be held accountable. For what? For protesting? Right? And by the way, he's also documenting, which means he's a journalist. Maybe people like Roger and their elitist circle of fake journalists don't want to believe that people independently can be journalists, but sorry, bud, that's very clear. But here's what he actually says. Well, I mean, it doesn't even matter. What he says is right there. He's on there saying, look, all we want is an actual audit of the ballots and of the Dominion machines. He's not calling for violence. He's not asking for anybody to do anything wrong. But here's what he says. This is Paul Davis. Paul's a lawyer. He's also, meaning he understands his rights. He's also associate general counselor and director of human resources at Goosehead Insurance. Today, he stormed the Capitol, right? Okay, so Brian was there filming as a journalist. Does that mean he stormed the Capitol? No, it doesn't. The point is that there are real journalists actually documenting, not just regurgitating what you're supposed to tell people about what they were told happened. But they will turn them into bad guys because they were present. Today, he stormed the Capitol building in an event to stage a coup against the U.S. government and documented it. Did he stage a coup? Was that what any of them actually said they were doing? No, not even close. But this is how they're framing the narrative, because they're bad people, because they're deceivers, I mean. Because that's fundamentally, look, for the very least, there's no way that that is verified, that this person being present means that he was attempting to stage a coup against the government and chose to document that. Not even close. And of course he goes, oh, here's the company, right? Oh, here he's, you know, and just calling him out. Oh, he's barred to do this. And look, it's sure horrible. That guy should be ashamed of himself, right? But of course, if it ever happened to him, right? If something ever happened to him and he was filming, you know, basically, you know, parroting something and he's in Syria, you know, being, you know, led around by the Hayatir al-Sham terrorist, you know, as we've seen BBC and Sky and everyone else acting like they're there to document the truth. And someone calls him out and says, look at what he does. Here's where he lives. Here's what he's going, right? Here's where he works. That would be unacceptable. How dare you? Of course, because it's these people are a protected class in their minds, even though they're not. But it also happened elsewhere. Trump supporters swarm the governor's mansion in Washington state. And all of it is about trying to make it seem like a chaotic thing. But as I understand it, it seems that this in every way does not seem representative of what we've seen in the past from these kind of movements from, you know, Trump supporting protests. That's an easy fact to point out. What they'll try to do is conflate the concept of, you know, things like Charlottesville and make that out to be only thing that Trump supporters do. That's as stupid as saying that only Antifa rioters are what the left does. See how dumb that is for all the people that were laughing about what I just said? That's equally stupid. But you agree with that. For all those that are still lost on the two-party illusion. Both of those things are dumb. The idea is that you're broad stroking a massive group of people. But nonetheless, we're seeing this happen a lot of other places, or at least I think two or three that I noticed. But here's the point I was saying earlier, is that anything basically, such as people like Brian who were filming what was going on, were just not allowed to get any service, not allowed to get their content out. But of course, all the media were using these massive AT&T towers that were there to make sure that they got their information out. That's called controlling the narrative and making sure that only you get to float that narrative. But they're saying they're restricting engagement with tweets that risk violence, like Trump's, they say. Except he didn't call for violence. He, in fact, called for the opposite. But because they don't like him and because they think this and that, well, that risks violence. That's an arbitrary, subjective choice to remove things that you don't agree with. This is what they're building right now based on what just happened. Look, I'm already gone. They deleted YouTube main channel. They deleted me on Twitter. That's because they're afraid of the truth getting out. But that's going to happen to average people now who simply share clips like you just saw. But as it says, they've significantly restricted engagement with tweets labeled under our civic integrity policy, whatever that means. Their policies mean absolutely nothing. They do whatever the hell they want, as my situation very clearly showed. Because even Marshall got suspended on his Twitter account for the exact same thing I was sharing. And they sent him a letter on a tweet or an email that said, this does not violate our guidelines, so we're reinstating your account. But yet removed my account for the same thing and didn't even send me an email. Because they're cowards, that's why. And that's what we're seeing here. Verified. Son of a gun.
What we're going to have to figure out, and I think what we're all going to have to figure out together, is what our new normal looks like. Our new normal includes physical distancing from others. Our new normal includes wearing masks where appropriate. Our new normal.
Well, on that point, seeing as how they love to interrupt my show, think about that in general. Think about how everybody there was supposedly, you know, even the cops, by the way, not social distancing, not really doing anything. That is going to be used as well. They're going to say, this caused an increase in all of the stuff that we're not really proving and using fake information to push, which we'll talk about more today in general. That will happen, 100%. And I mean, it already is, to be completely honest. But continuing forward, thank you for the casual interruptions, whoever's making that happen. Caitlin Johnstone shared a great article today. The two-faced mainstream media is already using the Washington riot to call for more social media censorship. Exactly. So the U.S. gets a tiny taste of its own medicine, and now the press wants control on what people say on the internet. But who decides whose comments and whose dissent is acceptable? She says she's being generous when she says that America was given a very small taste of its own medicine. Well, I would argue that's the government, not America, right? That is a problem in the way they report that, and I disagree with that completely. America is you. You're America. You are the people of this country. They're your representatives. They're your servants, or they're supposed to be. They don't care about that, though, because they've dropped you like a bad habit, and they're doing whatever the hell they want today. But the government of this country got a very small taste of its own medicine. Unlike the horrific coups and violent uprisings the U.S. government routinely orchestrates in non-compliant nations around the world, this one stood exactly zero chance of seizing control of the government. Exactly. And that's my opinion, the whole point. It says, I'm also being generous when she says that rioters forced their way in. I understand this. She's a Democrat, right? But arguably one of the more sane people in, you know, that are maybe moderately in the two-party illusion, because she definitely calls out both sides and so on. But she's clearly telling you that because she's objective and because she's intelligent and is willing to consider things that seem to challenge their party line. And she's saying, yes, they obviously didn't force their way in. The DC chose not to increase its police presence in preparation for the protest, despite knowing that they were planned. And there's footage of what appears to be cops actively letting them in. I just showed you that. There was some fighting between police and protesters, which we showed you in the very beginning, but contrasted with the unceasing barrage of police brutality footage, which emerged from many other demonstrations, by the way, just months before this. Weird, right? How, you know, they'll just beat people to the ground for protesting, but they will let people storm the Capitol building. Predictably, this entire American disruption has blue checkmark shrieking about, and this is the interesting part. Now, all of a sudden, Vladimir Putin is involved somehow. Why? Because people are capitalizing this on, just like COVID, in any way they can. Let's get a Russiagate squeeze in here, too, and make that work for my personal opinions. Just as predictably, it also got them calling for censorship of social media, which is one of the huge parts of all this. The New York Times has published two new articles. Right, a supposed journalist outlet calling for the censorship of people's opinions. How disgraceful. The storming of Capitol Hill was organized on social media. Right, so think about how dumb it is to say something like that. What if it was before there was any internet? So what if they organized in bars and taverns? Oh, that's right, they closed those things down too. Isn't that funny? Just like, you know, the revolutionaries before the country began did in bars and taverns and places like that. But that's the equivalent of saying we're going to shut down bars because they organize in bars and decide what they're going to do. That's dumb. Fundamentally so. But of course, their goal is to censor how you communicate. So they're going to make it out to be a logical claim. And they also said in another article, violence on Capitol Hill is a day of reckoning for social media. Okay, so they couldn't just do one. They have to do one and then push it further and say, now it has to happen, right? The media is telling us what to think. The opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. Both arguing for more heavy-handed restrictions on speech from Silicon Valley tech giants, which is the government. So you have the media, you know, basically calling on the government to censor people they disagree with. In the former New York Times, Shira Frankel writes, quote, the violence Wednesday was the result of online movements operating in closed social media networks where people believed the claims of voter fraud and of the election being stolen from Mr. Trump. Okay, so now they're conflating simply, as I told you before, simply the idea of believing that people had cheated in the election like they do every single election. I've proven that. Literally proven that. Whether it's the actual facts about how it was manipulated or the fact that the same people claiming it doesn't exist were arguing it happened before. It takes 10 seconds to look it up. That's how dumb this is. But of course, because anyone anywhere who claimed this was stolen or manipulated, well, they're inciting violence. So now your political opinions about the election are not allowed because violence. Citing the expert analysis of think tank spinmeister Rene DiRosetta. Of, quote, Tulsi Gabbard's a Russian asset fame. Really stupid comment, right? As usual, no mention of the fact that her involvement in, as you remember, as we covered, the New Knowledge scandal, which was they basically used a false flag at the Alabama Senate race to make it appear as if there was Russian manipulation. They got caught for that. It was a false flag. They lied, they manipulated, and she was intricately involved. Intricately. But here she's selling her opinions and being promoted by the same media that know that she got caught lying. But as I saw it previously, there was another person, I think, for C-SPAN that just got reinstated despite him lying about being hacked. And the point they make in the article is, what's the big deal? That's basically a prerequisite for mainstream media today, to be caught lying. Right? Like, these people are horrible. These are some of the most dishonest, most obviously caught manipulators, and they're all leading. I mean, think about people like Clapper in a leading position besides being caught lying and never being charged with the crime. For saying that the NSA wasn't spying on us. I mean, across the board, these people, anyone that tells the truth gets manipulated and pushed down because they don't like the truth. And people that are willing to toe the line, even as they get caught lying, get pushed up the ladder. Someone like Robert Kadlec, who should be in a jail cell right now, is leading, secondarily, the HHS as the Assistant Secretary of Preparedness Response. But he's responsible for some pretty horrible things, verifiably. This is disgusting, and we have to see the criminals are ruling everything today. She says, these people are acting because they're convinced an election was stolen. Well, that's your assumption, isn't it? Yes. So how can you honestly pretend to speak on the intentions of every single person there? Because you're a hack. That's disgusting. That's ridiculous. To say that we know what they were thinking, that's what that says. This is a demonstration of a very real-world impact of echo chambers. You're damn right. But the worst one that's the most dangerous is exactly what you're speaking in. Russiagate! But we're the dangerous ones, right? But the point is that there are plenty of people that probably were out there to cause violence, even people who were genuinely Trump supporters. I mean, I know of people who said that they were going there to start some to get Syria, whatever. So the point is that there are some people, but you cannot, as an intelligent grown-up, paint every single person present as what you want them to be. But they believe they have this power. That's why someone like DiResta is even in the position she holds as a horribly discredited person. Quote, this has been a striking repudiation of the idea that there is an online and an offline world. Ah, so they're blending it. Doesn't that sort of sound like what Klaus Schwab is talking about? Right, that we need to blend our biological and our technological identities? Yeah, you know, let's just blend it all together. Let's not pretend like these things are completely separate. And that it, what is said online is in some way kept online. That's a stupid argument anyway, because it's just part of the world today. People are speaking. If they speak online, well, you know what? It's a good chance they probably believe those things and will say them in public. This is just a way that they're painting what I described a moment ago as absolute, even though it's really ridiculous when you just barely think about it. This narrative, which seeds the idea that unregulated communication on the internet will lead to violent uprisings, is funny, coming from Frankel, who, as a Twitter follower recently observed, wrote a piece in 2018 condemning the Iranian government for restricting protesters' social media access during the demonstrations at the time. And here begins the next part, gosh darn it, it's freezing, of how obviously hypocritical these people are. Like, absurdly so. So she can stand here and say, this is horrible and we have to restrict what they're saying because violence. Yet when it comes to one of the people they're trying to overthrow, well, she'll stand up and say, well, basically condemning Iran's actions as the government in restricting protesters who are simply protesting. Condemning the Iranian government for doing exactly what she's calling for. Now, remember, there's nuance in regard to There's nuance in regard to Iran in that situation, as we pointed out in the past, but censorship, and in a general sense, is wrong. I will always say that. Government censoring people based on opinions is absolutely wrong, whether it's Iran, China, or anybody. In fact, China is one of the worst in that regard. But that's a no-brainer. They're an authoritarian state, a dangerous one. But here, did I just accidentally close that? No. Oh, well, let me finish the last part here. So social media and messaging apps have become crucial to anti-government demonstrators around the world, she says, as a means of both organizing and delivering messages to other citizens. Oh, that's why I was going to show you this, is this is the point of what I was just saying. Here she is, and I'll include this for yourself. Iranian authorities block access to media and about how terrible it is. And yet here she is calling for exactly that. Like this needs to be called out, but this will not happen in the mainstream media because they're allowing hypocrites like this to be powerful because they're also hypocrites themselves. It says the social media messaging apps have become crucial. So she's saying that apps in general are giving people who want to demonstrate against the government power. But isn't it your right to demonstrate against the government? Oh, but don't forget, in three paragraphs, we've already turned anti-government demonstrations into a synonym for terrorism. But you have a constitutional right to do that. She doesn't care about that. But if you're organizing your protest on social media, well, you must be a terrorist. Not surprisingly, she says, restricting access to such technology has become an important government crackdown as the physical presence of the police. Okay, so now she's literally saying that what she said was horrible in 2018 is the best thing we should be doing right now to basically, continue what they want to control. But it says, we know the social media companies have been lackadaisical, being lazy. Really? So they're not doing enough, she says. With all the censorship, they haven't done enough in stopping extremism from growing on their platforms. Oh, what's extremism? Whatever they say it is. Whatever they decide it is. And of course, the next thing they say is Jonathan Greenblatt, director of the Anti-Defamation League, says, quote, freedom of expression is not the freedom to incite violence. That is not protected speech. Except it literally is, because you're a disgusting hack. I'm not arguing that people should be able to cause violence. The point is, freedom of speech does not have limitations. If somebody does commit a crime, charge them for the crime. If somebody commits violence, charge them for the crime. But to try to walk this back to stop violence from ever happening is the stupid illusion that government always tries to push, that they will remove danger and violence from your life if you just let them control every part of it. Nobody should believe that because it's simply not true. History shows that, and it's just not true. They add another layer of danger, if anything else, with their horrible actions and causing whatever. They don't care about keeping you safe. Freedom of expression is the freedom to express yourself, period. Shall not be infringed. There are no limitations to such a thing. If you want to stand in front of in a theater and scream, there's a fire, people can try to charge you for the crime that they think you've caused. But I personally believe that making caveats to any kind of a right that is inalienable does not make sense. I'm not saying that putting people in dangerous positions is okay, but my point is they should be dealt with in individual situations, not as some broad statement that because of this one thing could cause dangerous things, we're going to just broadly claim that your statements mean violence if we decide they do. That is disgustingly horrifying in every possible way, and like anything else we've seen, will be abused by your government. But how do you protect what protests are going to be violent, they ask in the article. Exactly. Or predict, excuse me. How do you decide which protest and political dissent needs to be censored and which ones should be permitted to communicate freely? Do you just leave it up to Silicon Valley oligarchs to make the call? Or do you have them consult with the government like they've been doing? Exactly. It's just, they're just making it up for themselves. Are either of these institutions ones that you'd trust to regulate what protests are worthy of being permitted? Right, the idea that protests are ever permitted is immediately off the rails. It's wrong. It's gone. We've lost. Because the actual power structures in the United States seem to be interested in simply censoring the internet to eliminate political dissent altogether. That's the point. That sounds an awful lot like government officials and operatives telling social media corporations that it's their job to censor communication, which could facilitate any kind of unrest, no matter how justified. See, that's the little small part they're not really talking about, right? So if they claim it can cause unrest, they didn't say whether or not what you're saying is true. They just say that it can lead to violence. Well, that has to be controlled. So now suddenly things like, I don't know, what WikiLeaks revealed, what Chelsea Manning revealed, you know, the truth about war crimes committed by our government. Well, because that might cause violence and unrest. Well, we're going to censor it. That is what's happening. That's what's already happening, by the way. This is them building the justification for what they're already doing. And by the way, I'm trying to connect with Taylor Hudak to get kind of an update personally from her on what happens with what just went down with Julian Assange. I'm going to probably follow up on that a different stream. But it appears even though they have said, no, we're not going to extradite him, they refused bail and are keeping him in that prison. The prison that the judge just said was causing him problems. But they don't really care about us. That's just the point. But it says, as Julian Assange is condemned to remain falsely imprisoned and the mass media ramp up their case for more imperial narrative control, we are now in a battle for sovereignty of our very minds. Thank you, Caitlin. I completely agree. But to finish off here with the hypocritical part of how disgustingly ridiculous these people are, Twitter lists Guaido as among the world leaders condemning capital takeover, but, you know, just forgets his attempt to storm the Venezuelan parliament building, right? So it's, think how dumb it is that we condemn the violence on the Capitol. Do you see any similarities here? Images from Juan Guaido's attempt to storm the building of the assembly and then on the same thing happening in the Trump building with Trump supporters, or arguably at the Capitol building, let's say, right? This is dumb. Like, it makes me laugh out loud that they're going, wait, you know, Guaido stands and I condemn the thing that I literally did as myself. Okay, but then on top of that, what's also kind of insulting is that the EU today, I don't want to try to find it, I'll probably freeze the thing again, but today, or actually yesterday, the European Union removed their recognition of Guaido. They don't even acknowledge him as the fake president that he was. So here he is, not actually acknowledged by almost anybody anymore, and yet Twitter says he's a world leader, and then they also say he condemns the thing that he's obviously done. It's just painfully stupid to watch these people try to eke past their own lies. Well, here's another example. Protesters storm and vandalize legislative council as anarchy and violence engulf the Hong Kong government center. Remember that? In Hong Kong, we all saw that. It was all big chaos. Well, that's pretty much a similar scenario to what they're claiming we just saw, right? Well, we've seen Pelosi and everybody else say, this is, condemn, it's insurrection. But guess what Pelosi said about the thing that happened in Hong Kong? She says, and this is what she's talking about, literally those people and what happened in Hong Kong. She says, it's a beautiful sight to behold, and I commend the courage of the people there for speaking out in light of China's actions in Hong Kong. Okay, so you're for the exact thing that happened in DC when it happens to your enemies, and you'll cheer it on as democracy. But when it happens in a place where you can abuse it in your own way, which is the same thing happening here, well, then it's horrible and it's insurrection. you're a disgusting hypocrite. And it's not about truth or protecting anybody. It's about using anything in front of you to benefit your career. That's what's happening. It's pretty pathetic, but it's everywhere. You will see examples across the board of people who are willing to cheer on what happened in Venezuela, or rather what he flounderingly failed to do in a very... It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing for like the fifth time they've tried to push that feeble man and then overtake Venezuela. But it's the same thing he tried to do. But what we're seeing is that there's White House officials that are resigning from their posts in the wake of all of this, which is important to include, but I'm not sure how to take that, whether that means that you can argue these people were all the whole time part of an effort to manipulate his administration, or whether these are people that are just cutting their losses and getting out because they see the things that are see the writing on the wall, which in a way makes them sort of cowards, right? Because you should, why not just last out the last few days? But the argument the media is taking is that they're just so offended about what happened that they're going to resign, and it's more so about their political careers than anything else. But we have Sarah Matthews, Deputy Press Secretary, announcing her resignation from the administration. Stephanie Grisham, First Lady of Melania Trump's Chief of Staff. And she was the first to submit her resignation. Deputy National Security Advisor Matthew Pontier, I believe, also resigned. Anna Christia Ricci Nicita, the White House Social Secretary, also resigned. What is the social secretary exactly? Is that like social media, I wonder? I'm not sure exactly. Elaine Chao, transportation secretary, is considering resigning. Elaine Chao is one you should remember for being paid off to speak at MEK rallies because she's somebody who's willing to be paid off to speak on behalf of dangerous things that are actually dangerous to what we are in this country, despite the fact that they're trying to use that obvious terrorist organization cult to push into Iran and put them in power. Just as a side note, so is Giuliani. These people get paid tens of thousands of dollars to speak in front of this cult all the time. All the time, maybe not exactly accurate, but they've done it many times, put it that way. Robert O'Brien is also considering resignation, and Deputy Chief of Staff Chris Liddell plans to resign tomorrow. So says Business Insider. Now, Pence basically finished this process and announced it just after 3:40 in the morning today, that the president-elect Joe Biden had won the presidency after Congress completing counting the Electoral College. Now, again, back to the original point. The fact that this had to happen in a secure location behind closed doors with, at 3:40 in the morning seems like the obvious end goal here, because nobody got to really hear, or it didn't get very publicized, what they were arguing and whether they ultimately ended up arguing anyway. Because I'll tell you what, after all this went down, some of these people that were willing to argue why this was a manipulation might have been hesitant to do so because they were painting that as the cause for all of it. So at the very least, you could argue that this put a huge, huge stick in the spokes of the effort to try to prove that there was obvious manipulation. And remember, there was obvious manipulation. So the point would have been to get this aired out whether or not Trump won. But nope. Didn't happen. Just like when Clint Curtis testified about how he was paid to make sure that they could manipulate the voting machines, which were Diebold machines, and nothing happened, and they used those same machines the next election, it's the same thing we're seeing here. Keep it quiet, keep it under wraps, don't report it, don't talk about it, and we'll keep the same broken system that we use to keep them subjugated. Them being you. Now Trump, to the collective groan of all of his supporters, basically said, it's over. Well, I mean, as always, this will be dissected by Q and they'll make claims about what he really meant. But so far, they've been wrong about damn near everything. So Trump promises orderly transition on January 20th. Here's what he said. Even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. I have always said, we will continue to fight to ensure that only legal votes were counted. While this represents the end of the greatest first term in presidential history, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again. So you could argue that, if you wanted to, that is a way of making it sound like he's not done yet. But you don't have a transition if you're not leaving. So it's pretty obvious. And I've said this from the beginning, my gut and the facts suggested to me that Trump wasn't really ever trying to win this. There's so many things that could have happened, so many actions that could have been taken, a huge period of just absence, silence from him when he's, one of the most outspoken presidents, I would argue, at least on Twitter, that we've ever seen. This felt like an effort to keep his following as best he could for future endeavors, but knowing that this wasn't going to happen. That's despite the obvious manipulation, by the way. But Trump, interestingly, has barred, reportedly, Pence's chief of staff from entering the White House, which is interesting. I don't know if that has to do with Pence himself or something specifically with Pence's chief of staff that he feels is, you know, compromised. And why would that matter now? It's sort of, you know, it's interesting. But I argue that this really isn't over, right? I mean, I've seen reports from, I mean, early reports yesterday of IEDs being found. We've seen these propane tanks showing up all over the place. Like, there's all these kind of things that seem like they might still be happening. So I just argue caution for everybody. But it says, as Trump calls for, you know, Trump's ouster from, calls for Trump's to be removed from office is what it means, from office grows, how and when the 25th Amendment can be triggered, which I think is, it's just, again, it's stupid. Look, this is just about trying to disparage and deface Trump himself, which is petty. If he lost, the idea of trying to push him out now under the guise that he's going to cause more violence, even though it's very clear that he was not inciting that violence. You could argue that people in his administration or people that support him did. And I, even then, I would need to prove it. I mean, I'd like to see actual evidence other than just mainstream liars pushing this idea. But I don't see any evidence that Trump himself was trying to drive this to happen. I just don't. Yes, he told people to come out and protest. And maybe that's what he really meant. You don't know that for sure. I'm just trying to be objective here. I don't have trust for this man, and I believe he was probably one of the worst in this position we've ever seen, more so because he was manipulated and cowed by people like Bolton and Pompeo. That's my opinion. Nonetheless, to try to pretend like he can be removed now with the 25th Amendment is just another bastardization of what it really is. It's about people who are incapacitated, who are dead, and have always tried to bend and you know, mental gymnastics in every way to make this what they want it to be. But they're apparently pushing to have him removed before the 20th. But to sum it up, to finish off here, Derek put this out, and this is a perfect kind of cherry on top of what this whole thing is. A Facebook commentator nails it, he says. It's really sad seeing that much manpower, that much energy and passion in DC just to stop a career politician, Zionist millionaire, from taking office. So a Zionist billionaire, businessman, actor can stay in office. This is what we've devolved to. It doesn't have to be, it shouldn't be about one person. The savior complex is the problem. And the savior complex is one of the mechanisms in the two-party illusion. And this is what we need to change. It's just wild that we're even still here watching it happen. Now, again, my call to the Trump supporters, the people out there that believed that they, you know, whether or not Trump was the person you thought he was, recognize that whether or not the system is broken, that it's designed to allow the people who want to abuse it more than the others to win, to manipulate, to control. It really is irrelevant now, whether he was what you thought he was or not. Going forward, I know you guys believe in the Constitution. I know you believe in what's best for this country, which any real true patriot and true American should. It's quintessentially American, as I've always said, to call out your government. And you know what? I'm damn sure you guys are willing to do it now since Biden's in power. So let's make something happen. Now my effort will be to get the Democrats to realize that he's not what they thought he was. The same thing round and round. But I believe now more than ever that people are beginning to question the two-party illusion. And what we just saw is a way to use what just happened. I mean, really, it's sad to see that it ultimately seems like the expected culmination of what Q was from the beginning. A manipulation meant to drive in what they just did. Anybody claiming anything about election fraud, about COVID-19, about anything they don't agree with is now a terrorist, is now insurrection. And now they're going to broad brush anybody anywhere challenging what they're saying. We saw this coming. We warned you about it. The point is, now is the time to realize it. We've all been fooled. Every one of us at some point were lost and we had to awaken to the truth, to what was really going on. This is just one more step, right? Realize it. Help us make something happen. Because this just cannot continue to be allowed. Because we see the logical direction. Now it's going to shift back into COVID scenarios and it's going to lock down even further. And they're going to use a mix of both of them to justify what they're doing. They're going to continue to censor people like me because we are objective and willing to consider all sides. They just cannot allow it. Help me fight back. I love you all. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for questioning the status quo, the mainstream narrative. It's never been more easy. Help us fight. I love you all. As always, question, everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.